Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Today we are talking about the FCBC, the Foundation for Children with Behavioral Challenges, which provides support for caregivers interested in implementing a proven, innovative, and compassionate approach for understanding and helping challenging kids, with Beth Edelstein, the founding director of the FCBC. Beth, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
I am so happy to have you here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Terrific. I understand that the FCBC grew out of a local support group that you started about 10 years ago in Andover called Baskets. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. After years of trying to understand and help my older son who struggled with behavioral challenges, I found Dr. Ross Green, who is the author of the book The Explosive Child. And he introduced me to an approach called collaborative problem solving. And life just got much better for us after that. And I really wanted to share it with others and help spread the word. So I started the local group, support group in Andover.
Now, how old was your son when you started implementing these practices, the collaborative
approach? We first were introduced to the approach when my son was 12.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And the approach actually at that point, Dr. Green had actually not written the book yet, but he was able at that point to really help us understand our son. And the change in our thinking, our understanding about him, changed things dramatically in and of itself. Once we were able to learn how to do the approach, things continued to get better and better.
Well, the book is fabulous, both The Explosive Child and Treating the Explosive Child, the Collaborative Problem-Solving Approach, which is Ross W. Green and J. Stuart Ablon. And it has made a big difference in my life as well. I have a child that is highly gifted with Asperger's. And, you know, when you say no to her, that doesn't fly. And a lot of people say, well, oh, you're giving in and you need to be authoritative. Well, with these kids, that doesn't work. You need to collaborate. And when I started using it, my daughter actually said, I really like collaborating. Can we collaborate some more? I like being collaborative, you know, and it really made a difference. Now, did you find that with your son as well, that the change happened pretty quickly, or did it take some time for him to learn and for you to learn?
Well, I think, you know, it took some time. I think initially we saw a very big change as I began to understand that his problem, his challenging behavior, wasn't willful
and
manipulative, that he was lacking in skills. So it changed my whole attitude. And so things did, very quickly, they got somewhat better.
Now, I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, then the teaching of the skills, it does take time, but, you know, definitely we could see the progress, you know, on a week-to-week basis.
Now, did you get advice from other parents who had less challenging kids? Oh, you know, you just need to be stricter, or you get, you know, like I was saying about, you know, what I've heard before.
Absolutely. I had been to several different clinicians who... kept saying to me, well, gee, you know, you must be doing something wrong. You've got to be firmer. You got to set limits. I said, I'm doing that. I had a background in occupational therapy and early childhood education. I knew how to set limits, and I was doing that. It just was really making things worse for us.
Now, just for people who aren't familiar, there's actually three plans with the collaborative problem-solving approach. There's a plan A when the parent just imposes their will.
Correct.
And then there's a plan B when you work things out together. And the plan C is when you drop the expectation completely. And this yes, and that's something that I think is important. And that's where you have to, again, you know, work with parents that are in the same boat so you don't get the outside advice that, oh, you're just giving in. Now, when you started the group, what kind of parents came and what kind of challenges did their kids have?
Most of the kids had difficulty complying with adult demands. They appeared to be defiant or they had aggressive kinds of tendencies, although we really didn't and still don't focus a great deal on diagnosis.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Because we feel that it doesn't really give you a lot of information. My son had been diagnosed with ADD and ODD, oppositional defiant disorder. And while that provided maybe some level of comfort in that, gee, well, it's not my fault.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't really give me any information about what I could do to help him.
Exactly.
It wasn't until I understood that he had great difficulty staying calm when he got frustrated to think clearly, or that he had great difficulty organizing his thoughts and expressing his needs and concerns, or that he thought in very black and white mm-hmm. ways. It wasn't until I understood the specific lacking skills that I was then able to understand how I could teach those and how I could really help him.
You know, one of the things I like, too, in the book and reading about Plan B was one of the first steps is empathy. And that makes such a difference when you can say, I hear that you're upset and, you know, try to work with them, not only letting them collaborate with you and trying to solve the problem, but to really try to, you know, let them know that you understand how they're feeling to the best of your ability.
Absolutely. You know, most of us, I think, can relate to this, even us adults, that when you have a problem, most of us are less concerned about getting a solution. We're much more concerned, at least initially, about just somebody understanding
yes.
what we're saying. And that provides enormous comfort and helps all of us to calm down so we can then think more clearly about some good possible solutions.
Now, I wanted to go back to the group that's called Baskets. Now, that
yes.
is still continuing. Is that
yes.
correct? Now, do you have to live in Andover, or can parents come from other communities?
We draw from a very wide area. The group is open to the public. We have people who come from Worcester, from Gloucester, from
that's wonderful.
South, all over the place.
Okay. Well, at the end yeah. of the show, we're going to definitely have you give the information so people
sure.
can get. But I want to move on to having you tell me about the Foundation for Children with Behavior Challenges.
Sure. FCBC grew out of the local group that I had started in Andover called Baskets.
Mm-hmm.
After about a year, I began to recognize that there probably were parents like myself outside of the Merrimack Valley area that had kids like my son.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, we expanded it from just the local group Baskets into a worldwide nonprofit called FCBC. And through that, we focused on, you know, promoting the approach and then providing education and support for caregivers interested in implementing the approach.
Now, did you reach out to therapists as well? Because you had mentioned previously that sometimes it was difficult. You know, the therapist would give advice that actually was not helpful.
Right. We did do that. Our group, in addition to focusing on the caregivers, we did do some outreach in the community in terms of trying to educate school systems, pediatricians, and clinicians about the approach.
Yeah, it seems like there needs to be a lot of education. I mean, even in my own experience, you know, before my daughter got the Asperger's diagnosis, when you just say, oh, my child's really gifted, people think you're just bragging, but they don't understand that. And the doctors and other health professionals understand that those children tend to be very black and white in their thinking. They tend to be very argumentative. They tend to resist authority. And they really want to collaborate. A perfect example is my brother, who is profoundly gifted and grew up in the 60s and 70s. And my mother did, she was Plan A all the way. No.
Most parents
oh
were at
my
that
gosh.
Point. That's all they knew.
And my brother would actually say to her, Mom, I need you to work with me. I mean, he was actually telling her that, and she just didn't. You know, she just couldn't. And, you know, one of the main examples, which still haunts me to this day, was, you know, my mother would say, you need to put your shoes on now. And my brother would say, you know, he's like 5 years old, I will have my shoes on by the time we go. No, you need to put them on now. And if she had had this book, she would have said, okay, let's collaborate.
Right.
I'd like, you know, as long as you're ready, or how about you put your coat on now? Or, I mean, anything, just sort of to work with the child. And, you know, all they did was argue.
Yeah.
Argue. No, I could do that with my child. I could argue with my daughter 24 hours a day. But instead, we collaborate. Does it always go smoothly? No. Do I do the best I can? Does she do the best she can? Yes. But I really, you know, I just feel lucky that we have these resources, that I look at my mother, and instead of, for a long time before I had my own challenging child, I would say, well, he was just being a pain in the butt and she just didn't get it. Now
right.
I see that that's really ingrained in his wiring, the way he is, and she just didn't know how to do it, so.
Right. And, I do think that, you know, that was the standard way of thinking at that point, that
that's
if a
true.
Child was misbehaving, wasn't listening, and to adult demands, that they were being willful.
Exactly.
And therefore, what parents did, you know, flowing from that explanation, was to just further impose their will, use consequences to motivate the child to behave better. But in the past 30 years, we've learned that most challenging kids, for the most part, are missing crucial lacking thinking skills that one needs in order to be able to be flexible, to problem solve, to manage frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, approach like collaborative problem solving that focuses on helping parents identify and teach those missing skills is what these kids need.
Exactly.
Not more motivation.
Exactly. And one of the things that jumped out at me when I read The Explosive Child, I think it was in the first few pages, it said, if the child could, he or she would.
Exactly.
If they had the skills, they wouldn't be so challenging.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a learning disability or something,
exactly.
Right? Isn't that the way they talk about it?
Exactly. I mean, what child would wake up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to make everybody miserable?
That's what I thought my brother did.
I mean, we all want things to go our way. We all have needs and wants. But for most of us, we have the skill and ability to get those needs and wants met in ways that are adaptive, that don't intrude on others and cause problems. These children are doing it in maladaptive ways because they don't know a better way.
Exactly.
And once you start helping them to learn the better way, things just get better.
It is really amazing. It's worked wonderfully in my home. And I also understand that the FCBC is merging with Think Kids. And if you could tell us, what is Think Kids, first of all, and how will that affect you?
Yeah, we are actually thrilled to be merging with Think Kids, which is an organization in the Department of Psychiatry at Mass General.
Oh, that's terrific.
It's under the direction of Dr. Stuart Ablon, who was the former co-founder and co-director of the Center for Collaborative Problem Solving. And Think Kids is primarily focused on changing the way folks understand and help challenging kids, primarily through training of clinicians and educators and, to some extent, parents. And what this merger will do is it will allow much-needed support to be added to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
What they have recognized is that folks really need to connect with one another, to network, to share resources and stories, and to be able to gain skill and confidence in applying this approach.
Yeah, and for parents, I mean, I have felt isolated since my daughter was born, and it's only recently that I'm starting, you know, with this book and you know, learning about you. And then it's funny because recently I've met two women in the woods walking our dogs that both are involved in baskets.
Right,
and I would have
right.
thought, no one has a kid like mine. No, you know,
I know,
because I didn't know anybody. I mean, all the people in our family, or at least my husband's family, you know, they've got these easy kids. You can like swing them by their ankles and they're still sleeping. You know, it's like I take my kid to a grocery store. She won't sleep for 3 days. You know, it's like the stimulation. So we kind of looked like just oddballs, or which, you know, we are kind of odd, but, you know, just being antisocial on purpose. And I'm like the most, you know, extroverted person in the world. So for me to just not want to socialize, it's like, no. I would come to the holidays, you know. So just sort of getting them to understand and, you know, to feel like you're not alone.
Yes, that's exactly how most people feel when they first come to one of our groups or one of our meetings or first get on our message board, that they just feel really alone and are seeking to meet others that are in the same situation.
Now, do you work closely with Dr. Ablon with Think Kids, or will you start working with him?
Yes, I'm already working with him, and we are moving forward on lots of initiatives. We really want to grow the training opportunities for parents and clinicians and educators, as well as building the support programs. So we actually already have in place for this summer intensive trainings for clinicians and educators.
That's great.
And we're planning a one-day parent training with a target date of early June.
Oh, wonderful.
We expect in the next year to double the number of support groups, which currently number a little over 15 throughout the United States.
Oh, terrific.
And North America.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to really grow that. We're in the process of developing a comprehensive recruitment training and ongoing supervision program for group leaders.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Also, within a short span of time, we hope to also add a Mass General Think Kids clinic where parents, families can come and have an evaluation and then get the support they need to initiate implementation of the approach.
Now, does Dr. Ablon, does he see kids right now if someone called and said, look, you know, Think Kids, if, and again, I'll get the information at the end of the program, you know, I really, I need more help than a, you know, support group. I really want to work with, you know, Dr. Ablon. And yourself, do you see, do you ever work with families one-on-one?
Yeah, I don't at the moment work with families one-on-one.
Okay.
Dr. Ablon does.
Okay.
He is able to see patients right now, but until the clinic is set up, it's on a private basis.
Okay.
So
sometimes
families can call their insurance company ahead and make arrangements for reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
He does have some availability to see clients. But we also have right now a couple of other clinicians in the area that if folks are looking for help, I'm able to give them that information as to how to reach those folks, and they are for the most part able to accept insurance.
Oh, that's terrific.
Right,
and they've all been trained, or they're all, you know, obviously familiar and practice the collaborative problem-solving approach.
Yes, they are. They're folks that are really very familiar and very skilled in not just doing it themselves, but helping families be able to do it.
Yeah, you must have seen some amazing transformations or heard some amazing stories. If you want to share any from other, you know, parents that you've worked with, obviously you don't have to give any names. I just, you know, if there's anything that stands out to you, after, you know, from having a parent come to your group and seeing the change, you know, in their child, is there anything?
Oh, there are many.
I'm sure.
There are so many. I mean, every day brings a heartwarming story. Honestly, I know for myself, with my son who's now grown, he's 26 now and lives on his own in Texas and works for IBM as a software engineer. And if you had asked me about that years ago, I would have guessed that he would have been in jail by this point.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have thought this would have been possible. And there are many, you know, many other families with similar stories where their children are now in college or doing well. Another family. In the book, The Explosive Child, in the first chapter, the waffle episode,
the young child
who's described there is married, is about to have a child, and is doing extraordinarily well.
Oh, that's terrific.
But I'd love to share just very briefly a story that I actually heard yesterday, which is, I think is really important for folks to hear, because you don't have to do this approach perfectly well to see progress.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story of a mom who's trying to learn how to do it, doesn't have it down perfectly just yet, and her son was refusing to take some medication.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really upset, but she realized that in the past what she would have done is just impose her will. And so she stopped for a moment and just said, gee, you know, I'm wondering why that is that you don't want to take it, which is part of the first step of collaborative problem solving. And he eventually, with a little bit of digging, it came out that he had some worries about the medication because he had read certain stories about medication. And he had some ideas that were actually misinformation.
Oh.
But once he was able to share that, she was able to empathize with how he would feel like he didn't want to take the medication given, you know, what he understood.
Of course.
And was able to help him recognize correct information and, you know, sure enough, the next time he was willing to take the medication.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, we've had a problem with that, especially when it revolves around taste. So I've sort of collaborated and said, okay, because she has these calcium pills she likes, and, you know, I'll give you a calcium. She's like, no, how about four? Okay. You know, I mean, you know, things like that where, you know, it's still, she'll still resist. It might take a really long time to get her to finally take the medicine. But, you know, just kind of work with them. I know it tastes bad. I know that's uncomfortable. You know, instead of parents saying, well, who cares? If it, you know, so what? Just take it. You say, hey, I hear that you don't like the taste, but you know what? You really need to take this medicine. What can we do to
work together? Well, this actually, you often really want to even go further than that because, you know, for many kids, if what happens is they come to the table with their solution. I'm not taking that.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to the table with our solution, but you have to. And so sometimes just a little empathy can get the job done. Well, I hear you. You don't want, you know, you don't really want to take it. And then expressing your concern, but, you know, you really need to take this because of blah, blah, blah. But what can be even more helpful is if you can help the child in the first step to describe what their concern or perspective is.
Yeah,
so
I need to do that.
Why don't you want to take it? What is it about taking the pills that bothers you? Because there are so many reasons why a child may not. And in order to come up with a solution that's going to work, it really is helpful to know very specifically what their concern is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be that they don't like the taste of it. It could be that it makes them feel different, or they don't like the, it makes them feel different in terms of their peers, or it could be that it makes them feel different inside that they don't, in a way they don't like.
Exactly.
And once you know that, then you come with your concern, then there's some room to truly collaborate. Plus, mm-hmm. what you're doing by that process is, many of these kids don't know how to express their concerns. That's often part of the problem.
Okay.
So by doing that step of really gathering information to find out their concern, you're really helping them learn a new skill. So in the process, you're not only getting her to be more compliant about taking meds, but you're also accomplishing, to me, a much more potent task of teaching a lacking skill.
I see. And that's a lot of what this is about, is teaching those lacking skills. And it's funny because I noticed reading the books, it seems like, I don't know what it is with kids that are very bright, but it's every single description. The exceptionally bright so-and-so with da-da-da. It's like, and so you think, well, they're so bright. Why don't, you know, how do they not get this? I mean, you know, if you're profoundly gifted, why don't you, you know, but yet they don't get that a lot of smart kids tend to have that rigidity and the inflexibility, you know.
That's right. And even, you know, I know my son, you know, at a young age, in, I think, kindergarten, they said, oh, my goodness, his vocabulary is like that of a fifth or sixth grader.
Yep.
But he actually, when I later thought about it, once I became familiar with the approach, I recognized that I never heard him use words like I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm happy. And I never heard him use words like I need help, I need a minute, this isn't going how I want. He didn't have that kind of pragmatic language. And who would have, as you said, he was so bright. Who would have known
that
he was missing those skills?
Oh, my God. I'm just, wow. I mean, I've never really thought about that. Recently, my mother-in-law passed away, and it's been devastating. My daughter saw her every day of her life, except for the last couple months. And she had been, I'm fine. And she was acting out more and was really angry. And then she had some needle-free acupuncture called Shonishin at First Health of Andover. And the next day, she just started screaming and crying. I miss Grammy. It was amazing. And then I'd ask her, like, what was going on before you were so angry? And she said, I don't like to feel my feelings. I don't like to talk about my feelings. It hurts. It's okay to be sad, but I don't like to feel this sad. It hurts too much. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So anyone out there, I would go see Jason at First Health. I mean, just because I hadn't thought about it. I mean, here she's saying, like, you know, Uncle Gary is subverting the dominant paradigm by wearing a bracelet. And everyone's like, oh, wow, she's so, you know. But then I thought, she never really says, I'm really frustrated or I'm really angry. She just acts out. And that, wow, that's really eye-opening. I know I've said wow a lot, but I'm just really amazed. But, when she actually said it, I don't like to feel my feelings, I thought, oh, yeah, I never really thought about that. You're right.
Right.
You don't.
and in actuality, what they've shown in, you know, through research is that once you're able to say, whether you say it out loud or internally, I don't think matters so much, but once you're able to identify your feeling, I'm feeling frustrated, what happens is it gives you access to, when have I felt this way before? And what did I do when I felt that way before? And how did that turn out? Did it turn out well or not so well? Should I do that again or should I try something new and different? Because we often do tend to solve problems, like when you're feeling upset, in ways that we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then we use hindsight and forethought to modify that for good outcomes. And these kids, if they can't say, I'm feeling frustrated, it's like all that information is locked away from them. They have no access to the past.
That I'm just blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, I just this is just so eye-opening and amazing. Unfortunately, we have to wrap up. So if you can give us all the contact information for Baskets, for the FCBC, for Think Kids, that would be great.
Sure. The Think Kids, there's a website, which is www.thinkkids.org. It's all one word with two Ks, one for Think and one for Kids. And there's lots of information and audio programming, training opportunities. You can sign up for emails there.
Okay.
And you can also link to the FCBC website for some information that eventually will get moved over to the Think Kids site.
Oh, that's right, because merge. Mm-hmm.
Folks can also call me at Think Kids on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And that number is 617-643-6030.
Okay, well, Beth, you've got to, I want you to come on like every month. This has just been so wonderful. I want to thank you so much.
Oh, and, thank you. And, we really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, next week we'll be joined by movement coach Allison Megich. I apologize if I'm saying your name wrong. The creator of Full Motion Hoop Dance and Stretch. And you can reach me at Lisa at itsyourhealthradio.org. And visit my website at www.itsyourhealthradio.org. Remember, if you have challenging kids, it's time to rethink, step back, and collaborate. Thanks for listening. Have a great week and keep being healthy. Bye-bye.